going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets, like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
You're listening to the Common Fan Podcast, a Husker football podcast for the common fan by the common fan.
Welcome back to the Common Fan Podcast. I am TJ Burkle, as always, alongside Maddie Owens Sr. and Geoff in Lincoln. The Huskers lose 13-10 to Iowa. I can barely get the words out. Inexplicably, for the second year in a row, Nebraska has the ball with under 25 seconds to go in the game, tied 10-10, where you figure worst case scenario, we're going to overtime here. Mm-hmm. And for the second year in a row, we turn it over and lose in regulation. We're going to talk about all that. Bear with us. We are going to feed our outrage. We are going to talk through some of these ridiculous story lines about midfield handshakes or lack thereof. We're going to talk about Nebraska's epic failure on special teams. We're going to talk about all sorts of things. But first, I'm so angry about this loss, but don't let it ruin your appetite, common fan. Don't let it ruin your appetite.
Still got
to
eat.
Remember to eat. Remember to
fuel.
Eat.
You've got to eat.
And fuel fact, our body is a temple. We got to fuel
eat
it.
Eat your feelings. Eat your feelings and eat too much certified Piedmontese beef. That way you'll feel great about yourself because it's premium Nebraska beef raised and grazed in the beautiful Sand Hills region of the state. And it's Christmas season. Yeah. You're going to be going to Christmas parties. You're going to be celebrating all month long. What better than some great steaks? Maybe a prime rib, a prime rib for the holidays is a great idea.
Sure.
A delicious roast, a tri-tip roast, a chuck roast, any kind of roast. All these things are, I just imagine it's cold outside. You got a roast in the oven. It smells like beef and spices and all sorts of things.
It's crockpot season, baby.
No, it's crockpot season. That's right. Don't deny yourself certified Piedmontese beef. And you can get 25% off using the promo code COMMONFAN, all one word, COMMONFAN at cpbeef.com. You can also go to your local Mercado Butcher Shop in Lincoln or Omaha to get all the stuff, all the raw meat, as well as some hot dishes as well. Check out cpbeef.com. Use the promo code COMMONFAN. You know what to do, Husker Nation. Promo code COMMONFAN. Certified Piedmontese, powering the Husker football team and powering the Common Fan podcast. Also, make sure to check out our website, www.commonfan.co. TS Web Services did a great job building the site for us. You can trust them to take your online presence to the next level. We had a great experience working with their team. TS Web Services can help improve, redesign, or host your website. Check out tswebservices.com to learn more. One more thing, guys. It is Christmas season, and you need socks. You need socks for yourself. You need socks for your friends. You need socks for your family. And we've got some awesome Common Fan socks. Check out silliesco.com, SILLIESCO.com. It's buy two, get one free. Use the promo code there. Oh, Maddie,
there they are.
Socks. Those are
if you're watching,
socks.
They look great.
Beautiful code, GBR for life socks. Those are so cool. I love those socks.
Yeah. In use black the promo as code. Well.
Yep.
GBR for life is the football. They're little footballs.
use the promo code GBR for life, all one word. That's GBR number four, LIFE, for 25% off. And that's not just a discount on the Common Fan socks. It's a discount site wide at sillysco.com. Yeah. All the socks. You want to get all the socks? You
can get 25% off. I had people at our watch party demanding them last night, demanding them. I said, where do we get the socks? How do we get the socks? I said, listen to the podcast. All right. We'll tell you how to get the damn socks.
Sillysco.com.
Jeff, I hope you actually gave him the website, Jeff.
People want
instead
them,
of
right?
instead of making them take the extra step. Did you give them the website, please? Call them. Call them now. I'd like to follow up on this after we're done recording. All right, the Huskers. I don't
Jeff's
even know.
Getting written, Jeff's getting written up, written up by the board.
I don't even know if I can talk about this, guys.
Well, we can. Come on.
We are men.
Know,
let's start it off, and we'll start it off a little bit more lighthearted here, okay? Before we just dive right in, I don't know what's more concerning for me: the fact that this happened 2 years in a row to us, or the revelation that my mustache doesn't have any power. It doesn't freaking matter. This thing doesn't mean a damn thing.
TG, before we recorded, we didn't even talk about this. Was this
This thing is worthless. It means nothing.
Yeah.
I put my family and friends through this for nothing.
It's not nothing, Jeff. It looks magnificent.
No, Jeff, what's I hate to break it to you. We never gave you credit for the mustache correlation to the Colorado win. That's when you took credit.
Yes, you did.
Yeah. So just so you know,
this thing does nothing.
We've known that. We've known that for weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Thanks for telling me. Appreciate that.
I got to be honest, guys. I felt so good after Wisconsin. It's remarkable. The swings and the pendulum and the wild ranges of emotion that humans can feel within a matter of less than a week. But I honestly, like, after the Wisconsin win and seeing, like, Iowa was really one dimensional. I knew we were really good at run defense. I knew we'd have a hop in our step on the offensive side. I thought we would do exactly what we did in the first half. And there was no reason to believe that we would come out and literally hand the game away in the second half. Yeah. Like, I thought at the very least another field goal or another touchdown, and this is probably out of reach, even if we make a couple of dumb mistakes, even if Iowa scores, you know, some points or whatever, like get to 13, get somewhere between 13 and 17. And we probably have this thing won. And apparently that was too much to ask.
Yeah. It really was.
Oh, it was.
That was a bar too high.
That was
disgusting.
Let's talk through it. Let's talk through it.
Let's talk it out.
It's a therapy session.
Let's talk it out.
That's it.
Yep.
So let's go to the play-by-play. So the Huskers had a 10-0 lead at halftime. The one thing, guys, I was worried about was what I wanted to see early was us stopping the run. What I thought was possible, what could happen, because this defense has been leaky at times, was right out of the chute, Caleb Johnson's getting 5, 7, 8 yards a carry, and we're having a hard time stopping it. And I thought if we saw that, it's just going to be a long night, and it might not be our night. And I was prepared for that. I was not prepared for us to lose the same way we've lost for like the last decade in the second half. But right out of the chute, we force a 3-and-out. And they don't even, Caleb Johnson run for a loss of one. Caleb Johnson run for no gain. Jack Stratton pass complete to Caleb Johnson for 1 yard. I mean, they get nothing on that first drive.
Yeah.
And it was like, beautiful. Okay. And then we force a punt and we go down and get a field goal. Mm-hmm. And so it's 3-0. And I will say, I don't remember exactly all that prompted it. I think it was only 3-0 when I texted the group. Cause then it goes, after our field goal goes, Iowa punt, Nebraska punt, Iowa punt, Nebraska punt, Iowa punt, Nebraska punt, Iowa punt, Nebraska punt, Iowa punt.
Yes.
And then finally, Nebraska touchdown with 4 minutes left in the half to take a 10-0 lead right before halftime.
Go ahead. I was going to say that was an impressive drive, was it not?
Yeah, it was 12 plays, 74 yards. I'm trying to remember. Yeah, it was a really good drive. The drive took 4 minutes. We scored with only 38 seconds left. So that was like perfect. That was like, that is one thing we've done a couple of times this year where we've gotten the ball and we've been able to drain the rest of the clock in the half and actually get points out of it. That we've done that a few times. But I do remember at some point in those 47 punts in the bulk of the first half, I texted the group, that our buddy, our fantasy football group, and said, like, too many little mistakes already. Like, this shit adds up against Iowa. And Matty, like, you were the one that was like, doesn't matter. Like, we're going to win this thing. And I was like, yeah, snap out of it, TJ. Stop being a bad one.
You know, talking like that. You watch your mouth.
And then we had a 10-0 lead at halftime. And it was like, okay, we're fine. And I know, like, look, I will say, guys, like, I still think we only scored 10 points. There was a missed field goal in there. There was a big drop. You know, those are both in the second half. We'll talk about those. Yeah. So that we left points on the field, obviously. But I do think that they still look better. You still feel the Holgorsen effect. We ran the ball well.
Yeah.
Guys are open. Like, this is as good as we've looked against an Iowa defense in a long time. And like, you could just, but like, you could see the difference between like Iowa and Wisconsin. Like, Iowa was beating guys occasionally and getting to Dylan and sacking the quarterback. Iowa was in like some of those, like, we tried that like little cute reverse thing that just went absolutely nowhere. Our screen, like, they were sniffing out the screen passes. They were disrupted. They're just better on D. They are a better defense. One of the better, as they always are. Right. But it wasn't like the normal dominant Iowa offense we've seen. And they were so inept when they had the ball. Again, I just thought, if we can scratch and claw our way to 3 to 7 more points in the second half. And I thought there was a possibility we might do more. Like, we might hit a couple of big plays. That first field goal drive, Dylan missed a wide open Jalen Lloyd for what would have been a touchdown.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. Overthrew him. That was one of the things. So anyway, going to halftime up 10-0 and we get the ball back.
That was the thing. I think that was like, okay, we're up 10-0 and we get the ball to start the second half. And it was like, let's go.
Yeah.
Put on the gas.
Normally against Iowa, it was kind of like Wisconsin last week. You just hold your breath until the clock shows zeros.
Yeah.
Because you know it's going to get interesting or like, you know, whatever. But I just felt so confident. I've never felt this confident. And sure enough, we take over 5 minutes off the clock. We run 11 plays. We go 65 yards. And attempt a 34-yard field goal and missed the field goal.
Yeah.
Now,
stupid snaps, man.
It was the snap. That one I don't blame Johnny Hull for. And you know what's interesting? On the first field goal that John Hull made in the first half, I said to myself, I was like in the kitchen or something, so I wasn't totally paying attention. If they talked about it, I missed it. But I said to myself, was that snap a little off?
It was.
That looked a little like that on the first field goal that he made was like, that didn't look good.
That was in the end zone that me and Matty Jr. were in. And I like breathed a big sigh of relief because the snap, like, so I don't know. God bless me. I don't know the long snapper's name. But
I don't think he's going to be playing anymore.
Yeah, we don't need to know his name.
He's been putting him way too far to, let's see, it would be his right.
It's like Buscini's having like reach back.
It's not like he's like reaching out, you know, in front of him to catch it. It's towards his body.
Yeah,
which try anybody, I guarantee, like, try to do that. Try to catch a ball near your stomach or your thigh and put it down on the ground as fast as you can and spin it. Like, good luck.
Yeah.
Yep. And so that was really frustrating. And we're going to talk about Ed Foley and special teams and all that, because we'll talk about all that. But then came the guys, the next sequence decided the game. The next, I don't know, 3 or 4 possessions basically decided the game. So we force a punt. Iowa only runs 5 plays and the defense does its job and forces a punt.
Sure.
And then came the muffed punt where I don't know, was it IGC? I think it was Garcia Castaneda. Just didn't field the ball. He looked like he was in a position to fair catch it. I mean, we don't have a punt return in the golf bag, apparently. We've decided we're just not going to return punts at all.
No.
And
no.
So that's, but he was in position to fair catch it, didn't do it. And then I don't blame Vincent Shavers at all. Vincent Shavers Jr. at all for diving after it, because
no,
it
was, that was my chaos. Question. That's what yeah. I don't, and I wasn't sure if I was being too hard on that kid or not, because he didn't feel the ball. It takes a bounce. We don't touch it. And then that, like you said, Shavers tries to grab it. Like, I didn't know if he made a bad decision or not. So I'm glad you said that, because my first reaction was, why is he trying to grab that thing? Like, we didn't touch it yet. If at best it'll be down on the one, at least we'll still have the ball. Right. So I was with that dude for trying to field it or trying to grab it.
Well, in a perfect, but I just don't think he knew. Like, and I think it, like, and Rule said after the game, you're supposed to yell poison, poison, poison if someone's touched it. And so I don't think they were yelling that. So he's a true freshman, you know, but like he obviously like was thinking someone had touched it. And at least watching on TV, it looked like it looked like either IGC touched it or I don't know who else it was. It bounced right by somebody else. Mm-hmm. And so I was sure one of those guys had touched it. And then Shavers dove in. I would also argue that the Iowa guy touched it first, which would have just made it our ball wherever the Iowa guy touched it.
Right.
But it was like bang, bang. And because the ruling on the field was that it was Iowa's ball, it wasn't enough to overturn whatever.
Yeah.
But
I got a confession. Like, I got a confession for that one.
Oh, geez.
I was in the men's room at Kinnick when that happened, and I have a bone to pick with the design of their stadium and particularly their men's rooms. Can they get some damn urinal troughs?
They don't have urinal troughs.
The lines for the men's room at Niall Kinnick Stadium are absolutely ridiculous. There is no way there should be a line out into the concourse for a men's room.
That's frustrating.
Just one of the many things I feel like we're a very superior football program. Our facilities are well suited for a man to go to the bathroom during a TV timeout and make it back to his seat before play starts again. Done it many, many times at One Memorial Stadium Drive.
Yeah.
Impossible at Kinnick. Just throwing that out there. Didn't miss the whole thing. Came back to my seat. Junior says, I'm like, what the hell happened? He goes, well, IDC muffed a punt. Well, he didn't touch it, but then they said that we touched it, but we really didn't. And so my son in the stands is, and I get it, we're biased, but he's like, no, he didn't touch it. He's like, I saw it on the video board. And Shavers didn't touch it. anyway, sorry.
Yeah, no, that's excellent. Like on the ground intel, Matty.
Troughs.
Yeah.
Troughs.
Get some troughs, Hawkeyes, for crying out loud. So then, like, the defense, once again, bows up. Where'd they have it? On the four, I think? They had the ball on the four, and we held them to a field goal, basically.
Yeah.
So it's huge. So it's still 10-3, and it's like, just go get a field goal. Go get something to where this is a two-score game, and I think we're still going to win, right? Mm-hmm. And then Iowa forces a punt after their field goal, and then that was the Caleb Johnson touchdown reception, which was right at the beginning of the fourth quarter. It was 72 yard touchdown pass, but it was like a
brutal
screen bubble thing, whatever it was. And it looked, watching on TV in the moment in real time, it looked like it was going to be about a 10 yard gain. It was going to be a nice play.
Yeah, it was a nice play.
But watching it on TV, I was like, okay, there's about four guys closing in on him. Like,
yes,
we got this. And then watching the replay, Bullock had him wrapped up.
What was he doing? What the hell was he doing?
I don't know.
That is a film for coaches to use for them to say, you've got to get low. You got a good NFL caliber running back and you're trying to tackle him around the shoulder pads. And I think the guy in front of me who was a Husker fan from Omaha leans over to his son and goes, that's why you got to get low. And I'm like, yeah. I'm like, he's right. That guy knows.
Yeah.
You can't wrap up a big, you can't try to wrap up a Big Ten running back around the shoulders. You just can't. So,
no.
But yeah, we should have had him. We should have had him. And it didn't seem like Bullock was the only guy that should have had him either. There was
Defenders. No, five. I counted five on the replay. And so,
but let's be real. I mean, never mind. We'll get into the.
No. Go ahead. And then they score. And then again, we each trade two punts, right?
Mm-hmm.
And we get the ball back with. So we force. Let me say one more thing on special teams. We get the ball back at the 20. with a minute 40 to go in a tie game. And thank you. And again, like thinking, okay, worst case scenario, we're going to overtime here, right?
Yeah.
And but one more thing, like we forced a punt and they weren't very close to midfield, I didn't think. I can't remember where they were. Let me see. Let's see. Yeah, they were pretty
their own 20. They punted. Yeah, it looks like they punted from their own 26. They kicked it 54 freaking yards. Like,
yeah. So, but also like that one more explanation of like, if you ever needed a good return, it was then.
Yeah.
And we didn't even try. And IGC, like they had it covered, but like he could have, like, it wasn't like some of those where, yes, they were all over and you, right, had to fair catch it.
He could have tried to return at least give it a whirl. Yeah.
But yeah, which made me think we're not even trying to return punts at this point.
No.
You're probably right.
Which we've seen at Nebraska football all too often in the last 10 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, it's just inexcusable to me.
No, it's absolutely.
And also, like, just the little, like, it's annoying to me when people talk about the little, oh, we got, Iowa does the little things well, or we need to get better at the little things. But it's true on detail, like little detailed stuff. They always have a good punt when they need it. They're always putting us like inside the five. Buscini's great. Worst possible game for him to have two shanks.
Yeah, right? Two shanks back to back.
Like, we haven't figured out the field goal game consistently at all this season. I mean, and I don't blame Hull. Again, I don't blame Hull. Hull seems to have come around.
I blame the damn announcer, not Colt McCoy, the other guy. He pointed it out right before he kicked the ball. And that always freaking happens. How many times have you seen it where an announcer makes a point of how many field goals somebody's made in a row, and then they miss it right after that? Like, those people need to shut their mouths. Shut up.
Just brutal. So anyway, let's finish the recap here. So we each trade punts. We don't return the punt. And so we got it at the 20 and we get up to the Nebraska 40. I don't really understand. We never seem to be in much of a hurry when we're running the 2-minute drill. Mm-hmm. I don't know if there's a belief that we're just going to get a couple chunk play. Like, suddenly there's 35 seconds left and it's 3rd and 1.
See, I think
when we got the first down, and then there's 22 seconds left and it's 1st and 10. So at that point I was like, well,
are we playing for overtime?
I doubt we're going to get in field goal range at this point, but at least it'll get to overtime at that point.
Yeah. But you know what I think? I think we were trying to avoid a situation like eventually happened anyway. Like,
we're trying to avoid turning the ball.
Don't turn it over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if we go to overtime, we go to overtime, but don't give them the ball. Like, we didn't do anything really risky. I mean, Dylan had a hell of a slant route to Jamal Banks, who, by the way, I think his numbers weren't fantastic, but Jamal Banks,
well, Banks played like a heck of a game. Blanks,
and
Banks
and the last 2 weeks too, he got a great game against Wisconsin. But I think we were really just trying to be like, and as far as the punt returns too, and I think, and it really has been more than just the Iowa game as far as the punt return thing, but I think it was really like, hey, let's really take care of the ball. That's what it felt like to me, was like, let's be safe with it. And where I come out on that is, that's what Iowa does. We are not going to out Iowa. I think that the game plan that you have to have against Iowa is, especially if your defense is playing as well as ours was, you have to be more aggressive on offense. You have to take more shots down the field. Look at what we did 2 years ago with an interim head coach. We just said, screw it. Let's throw it down there, Trey's down there somewhere. You can't tell me we don't have at least one guy. Jalen Lloyd burned his guy. Raiola missed him. Why not keep going at it? We had at least a couple, unless I'm mistaken, where we threw a little bit deeper ball and we at least got an interference call. Like, yeah. I know Banks had one for sure. Like, why aren't we throwing the ball down the field more? And maybe it's something that they didn't want to try, but I feel like, especially against an Iowa defense who has been susceptible to big plays, like, they're good. You want to play in a phone booth, they're all for it. Yeah. You're not going to out Iowa, which, well, what I mean by is, you're not going to say, let's take care of the ball, let's play good defense, let's win 10-7 or 13-10. That's not how we are going to overcome this Iowa hurdle. We have better athletes than they do. So what you do is, You use your athletes and you try to have dynamic plays. That's my opinion. And have explosive plays. I think that's to me, that's the recipe for beating those guys. Take shots down the field. Be aggressive in your run game. Do what you got to do. Because it trying to get 4 or 5 yards and have multiple 11, 12 play drives against those guys, it to me isn't going to work out in the end. It's not.
Yeah.
Well, that's a fair point, Mattio. It was funny because I was like arguing with myself toward the end where I was like, we've been terrible in overtime. Do we really want to go to overtime with these guys? Yeah. But then I was like, the defense has been so good. We can probably hold them. And then I'm like going back and forth. But I don't understand what we're trying to do in the 2 minute drill. So let's finish the recap. So obviously Bryce Benhart gets bowled over and they force the fumble. I don't really blame Dylan for that one because I don't think he even saw it coming. But I mean, you gotta protect the ball better there. Iowa recovers the fumble. We all knew what was going to happen at that point.
Yep. Like,
we all knew what was going to happen. I think everyone started feeling that way when it got to 10-10 even. A couple more points on the small things, guys. Like, you got your 6-year senior offensive tackle who's been pretty good this year, I will say, just getting his ass beat and went at the absolute worst possible time, but in a one-on-one matchup with a defensive lineman, and losing the ball there. I think it was the drive before that, a perfectly thrown ball by Dylan who went right through the hands of Isaiah Nair.
Yeah.
And he had room to run. Yeah. So I doubt he scores there, but he's probably already in field goal range where he was going to catch the ball. And then he probably gets another 10 or 20 yards there. Maybe, who knows? Maybe he scores, whatever. Yeah. I don't know what that was. He just missed it. And then he kind of just kept jogging.
Right through his hands.
Can you even call it a drop when the guy like doesn't even get a hand on it, but it's right there? Like what the hell was it? He like alligator armed
straight
it.
Straight through.
And it didn't even like, yeah, that I didn't, that was not good.
And then, you know, going back, one more thing I've thought, guys, just going back to the missed field goal at the beginning of the half. Let's just say everything else plays out the same, except we make that field goal instead of miss it. Right.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
I still think we win the game then, because for instance, late in the game, when Iowa is having trouble moving the ball, instead of punting it back to us and being content to roll the dice in a 10-10 game, they're having to go for it on fourth and long late in the game. And they were 0 for 10 on third downs. And so I like our chances in that scenario. I like our chances of keeping them from even getting to midfield. And that's why that's so critical. That's why those little things are so critical. Yep. Those points are so critical. So make the field goal and, or, you know, nay or catch the ball. That's the difference in the game. Like, that's what it all comes down to, is when you have a 10-0 lead and you're pushing the other team around and you're clearly like, we were the better team in every way last night, except the one that mattered for the final score. Don't let it get to that point where it's 10-10 late. Let it get to that point.
Yeah. And that's like, I've seen some folks on Twitter, some Husker media types or fan accounts and things like that, suggesting that, you know, maybe Coach Rule stops saying, hey, it's going to come down to the fourth quarter in a one score game. Like, don't let it get to be a one score game. Put the foot on the gas and be up by 3 scores going into the fourth quarter. And then we don't have to worry about the demons of like these one score games in the fourth quarter.
I feel that.
It's easier said than done. It's like we'll just go ahead and take a 3 score. Like, I know, but
I understand people who say that. I just don't like, I don't really think that's our problem, is that Coach Rules, like, we're going to have to win close games too. And I think past coach, like Frost, dealt with it by saying, look, it's just we're one or two plays away. He tried to downplay it. Rule, I think, is saying, I'm going to put it out there to make it not a big thing, that are, you know, just something that we talk about all the time. It's not working. You know, neither approach is working. But I mean, listen to this, guys. Listen to this. Nebraska had 20 first downs to Iowa's 5. Nebraska, or Iowa, 0 for 10 on third down attempts. We had 334 total yards to their 164. We held them to 164 yards.
Take out the Caleb Johnson touchdown.
Right.
They're under 100 total yards.
Exactly. They're 115 yards passing, but 72 of those are the Caleb Johnson, like, freak touchdown play.
Yeah.
49 yards rushing. That's it. 49 yards rushing. Whereas we ran for 144. And you know, we had two turnovers and they had none, and that was a huge deal. And then, you know, again, special teams. So, you know, this is a whole different episode, and we won't have to get into all of it right now. But as of this moment, like I told you guys, we're recording this game's Black Friday. We're recording this Saturday afternoon. We'll put it out Monday morning. I have had a hard time shaking this feeling of just anger and fury. And a couple thoughts on that. One, it'll never happen for me. I'm an obsessive Husker fan, and apathy will never happen for me, but I can understand. Like last night I was like, I hate this feeling. I hate going through this. Like I could understand people saying, you know what? I got to step away because I care too much about this. And again, I don't think it's going to happen, but it just made me think like, there's a lot, like we can't have too many more seasons like this.
No.
And I don't, uh-huh. I don't, and again, I don't think Husker fans are ever really going anywhere. It would take like 20 more seasons to really like have us not show up at the stadium or something. But I feel it feels like we were so close to 7-5 and playing in a bowl game to finish 8-5. And I think we're going to let the dust settle. We're going to talk about this after the season, but I think a lot of people are going to view 6-6 as a disappointment.
You think so? Okay. Go ahead, Jeff. No, I'm just curious about that because somebody that I watched the game with last night, I go, technically we're better this year.
Like right. It's an improvement. It's an improvement.
And so like, it's tough because of I think the way that we lost and the expectations we had after last season was just get us to a bowl game. And I think we, as Husker fans, we constantly, and you know, we get ourselves into we're in like a echo chamber. We start
we ratchet up the expectations.
And we always do. And so now they're starting to come back down again. But technically, I guess from my perspective, what's the biggest difference between 6-6 and 7-5 going to a bowl game to you guys? I'm
just
curious.
Just a different bowl game. That's all it really is.
I don't know. I think it's a mental thing. It sounds better, right? It's two wins better than last year versus one win better than last year. And sure. I don't know. It's arbitrary, Jeff. It's arbitrary.
This one's just different. And it hurts more, TJ, because it's Iowa.
That's true, too.
They're our
rival. And the way that we lost again, it seems uncanny that this could happen 2 years in a row.
I hate them. I hate them. I might hate them more than I ever hated Colorado. And that was quite a bit. Like I don't know. It's evolved naturally, and it's become a rivalry, and it just drives me insane that year after year I feel like we're as talented or more talented, and it comes down to some bullshit that they win on. Like it's
exactly,
it never fails. It goes back to like, when's the last time it was decided by more than one score? When we had Mike Riley, like even Scott Frost played those guys tough every single year. Like it's maddening. And I don't want to ever, like, I don't want to ever be the kind of team that they are. I just don't, because it's not fun football to watch. It's just like grotesque.
Right.
Like there's a reason. It is. I follow the Sickos Committee on Twitter. Great college football follow. If you don't follow them, common fans, follow Sickos Committee. They have loved Nebraska and Iowa the last few years because the just weirdest crap happens in both our games. Just when we play each other, both our games. They mock Iowa for how much they punt and just play defense, and then they win on some sicko play. Like it's just I don't want Nebraska to ever be that kind of team. Like I want us to be an enjoyable team to watch where we throw the ball and score, we run the ball and score, we play good defense, and it's entertaining football.
It's really frustrating because we are the historically better program. I think we have a pretty good case to make there. And then all of these games, especially in the last several years, the last more recent years, it feels like we are the better team. We have a lead more often than not, and they don't win because of something they do. We end up making a dumb mistake or multiple mistakes. Now, again, I guess they get credit for not making mistakes. Like they still get in the win column. They've won 9 out of the last 10. And that makes Husker fans so angry. But like the insane ways that they've won. There's another Eric at Stu Manji on Twitter tweeted this. He's a good follow too. He's a big stats guy. This is Iowa versus Nebraska 2021 through 2024. Game time that each team had the lead. Nebraska 138 minutes and 26 seconds. Iowa 25 minutes and 2 seconds. game time.
Insane.
Game time that each team had the lead in the fourth quarter. Nebraska 22 minutes and 55 seconds. Iowa 2 minutes and 58 seconds.
Wow.
Number of wins. Wow. Number of wins. Iowa 3, Nebraska 1.
Yeah.
Whew.
That's just the last four seasons.
Yeah, that's just the last four seasons. So that's it's crazy. Maddening. And, you know, Geoff, I just think that, you know, to also answer your question, again, this will be worthy of one or more postseason pods, I think. And we want to get through the bowl game. And I also, like, if we win the bowl game, people are going to be feeling pretty good. If we finish the season with the winning record for the first time since 2016, you know, there, you know, so I have seen the vibe on Twitter from a few people, not a ton, of basically like, we pushed Iowa around. We won in every statistical category. And we did the same to Wisconsin too. You know, we did it 2 weeks in a row. We got to figure out this little stuff. We got to get over this last hump.
No, there's bright spots. Let's not ignore that there were some good things that happened last night. Right. You know, but, you're talking about a game where it's like, I don't know what the temperature was with the wind chill, but for Dylan to have, I mean, granted, there's a lot of short passes in there, but to go 22 or 32 for 190 yards when it's like in the teens for wind chill, like, Dylan was not the reason we lost last night. And if anyone's suggesting that, like, I saw one guy suggesting we're overpaying in NIL money for him. And people are like losing their minds. They're like, he's 19. He's a true freshman. Like, give him a break. He's not the reason we lost. Like, yeah, he missed a couple of guys, but anyone would have. I think in that situation, in that game, in that climate, like,
yeah,
I don't know, man.
Hey, here's one. This will make us feel better too. From Arbitrary Analytics, Eric Hess, friend of the program. Yes. Since Iowa fans want to bring up performance over the last 30 years, the Iowa Hawkeyes just finished their best 30-year run in program history. Between 1995 and 2024, they have 231 wins in that stretch. The Huskers have 237 wins over the same period.
Oh, wow. So they just experienced their best 30-year run, and even as bad as we've been, we still have more wins? Did I hear that correctly?
In a 30-year stretch. Now, we got some really great 90s teams that just snuck in there. It just snuck in that 30-year that 30-year window.
We did that?
Not included. The 95 teams included in that, and 97.
Yeah, but we're living in the past, TJ.
Totally. Get over it.
That's right.
That was sarcastic, Jeff.
I was being sarcastic.
But so anyway, just to try to put a finer point on what I was saying, though, like, I think we'll look back and say Indiana was the only game where we really got stomped.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
We were, you know, going back to the talent conversation, we had good enough players on the field to beat Ohio State. We had good enough players on the field to beat USC and UCLA and Iowa. Mm-hmm. And we didn't win any of those games. So that's the maddening thing. And I think that, like, if you're Matt Rhule, they just scored 10 goals, Jim. Right now it's everybody's net, right?
Right.
Like, everybody's job's on the line. And I don't, like, and I think that I'm going to contradict myself here for a minute. But on one hand, I think Husker fans are way too quick to say fire this guy or fire that guy because the performance is not good. And like, but at the same time, and also the head coach has to have his discretion. He has to have people he's comfortable with, all that.
Yeah.
At the same time, we saw the immediate impact that bringing in someone like Dana Holgorsen made.
Yeah.
So the special teams cannot be the same again this year. Like, Ed Foley's got to go. If Ed Foley's a good guy, and
yeah,
I
that's
love
where
it,
you're
Ed
going
Foley,
with this.
Ed Foley loves to tweet pictures of his meals at diners around small towns in Nebraska. I love that. You want to keep him around the program and let him do something? Fine. I don't care. Yeah. Let him have, there's an unlimited assistance now. He can be an assistant special teams coach or something. And
just head morale guy or something like that.
Whatever.
I'm sure. I mean, he seems like a great fella.
Get somebody. I don't care if, you know, I would love it if Bill Bush came back, but I don't really care if they have ties to the program or not. Dana Holgorsen didn't have ties to the program. Just somebody who can do the job. Like, Kurt Cignetti at Indiana just redid his contract, and he has an $11 million pool for assistance now. So what I think our rules pool is like seven something million. So go spend whatever you need to spend and get retool the offensive staff if you need to do it, whatever. Again, I'm going back and forth here. Maybe Garrett McGuire wasn't the problem. Maybe it was the offensive coordinator or the offensive system. Like, only Rhule really knows that. So we can't lose our minds if he brings back the young wide receivers coach for another year. But some changes have to be made, right?
For sure.
And also recruit over people. I don't care. And again, I don't think talents are, like, we can win with the talent we have, but go get better players.
Yeah.
I don't care.
I think they're doing fine.
I think they are doing pretty well in recruiting, but I'm just saying, if suddenly, I don't know, Jamari Butler and Marquise Buford are coming back, I think that's largely a good thing for the defense. If suddenly you got a connection to a guy in the portal who might take one of those guys' spots, you need to go get him. It's harder than ever to win in college football right now. It's harder than it's ever been. And it's really unfortunate for Nebraska that we have had this stretch of instability at the top. And I'm talking above the football coach, instability at the university leadership and the athletic director level for the last, I mean, you could argue since Solich and Callahan, but certainly the last 10 years. And then also this just run of firing Pelini, and then we had Riley, and then Frost didn't work. And we've had it's just really bad timing to have this dip in program history. It's going to be harder than ever to climb back out of this. You have to be ruthless. You have to be ruthless. But I don't know what that means. I don't know what the common fans don't know what those answers are, but if that means replacing some friends as coaches and bringing in better coaches, different coaches, go do it. If that means replacing, everybody's job needs to be on the line. I'll be honest with you. And I think Dylan's got a bright future, and they have nothing but good things to say about him. It better be better next year.
Yeah.
It better be better next
year. For sure.
Yeah.
100%.
We went through the true freshman, grind with him. That's got to be better too next year. It's all got to be better. Sorry. Yeah. I'm just really still very angry about this.
Well, you seem like you handle it with a pretty level head, General.
You're not irrational.
Did it hurt last night? Yeah. Has it taken a lot of conversations with, my 12-year-old son to calm me down and thinking about this with somewhat clear head? Yeah. But I mean, I feel comfortable with Coach Rhule. And TJ, you've said it multiple times, he doesn't stand pat. And he proved that with the Holgorsen thing. And so that gives me a little bit of hope that he's not just going to run it back with the same coaches. Something definitely has to be done as far as a little staff shakeup. I don't know if that means, if they do end up getting Dana to stay, if he wants to bring in all his own guys, I say let him do it. I mean, I don't know. It's a tricky one, because you feel like you want to give the guys that are currently there a fair shake. But yeah, I mean, if the results on the field aren't panning out, then I guess let it roll and let Dana bring in his own guys. But bottom line, I'm comfortable with Coach Rhule, and I think he will make moves, because I love that phrase. He's not going to stand pat, and I even said it earlier when I was talking to my wife and breaking down my take on the game, because Catherine's take, guys, was, and this is my wife, who doesn't watch a ton of football, but I guess maybe knows enough. She said, "I think you guys need to talk about what they're going to do about the offensive line." And I said, honey, believe me, we've talked about the offensive line over the last two seasons. We've talked about the offensive line.
Further evidence that our wives don't even listen. Anyway, sorry.
Yes, absolutely. No, I was just rambling on. I just think I'm comfortable with Coach Rhule, and I think that this could be one, if not his last stop, one of them. And I think he wants to succeed here, and I think he likes it here, and he likes that football means so much to us here. And I think he can envision what it looks like if we get it back to where we want it to be. And
I agree. I take
comfort in that. And you look at, just looking at the current situation, the current staff, all that, I don't really know that we need to do anything with the defensive staff. I mean, those guys,
yeah, sure,
deserve to win last night. And it just drives me nuts that a guy like Ty Robinson, who played his butt off the last two seasons, and I hope has earned himself, you know, getting drafted, and Nash and Gifford and John Bullock, like those guys didn't deserve that last night. And it's not on them. Like it's totally not. It's a missed field goal. It should have got maybe another touchdown or another field goal. And
poor special
that's
teams
what it
play.
Is. Yeah. Special yes. teams. I mean, again,
yeah. even with the Caleb Johnson touchdown, which was atrocious, they gave up 7 points.
Yeah.
Like they gave up 7 points. Like and that's it. You know? Yeah. Like, yeah.
I mean, even with the Caleb Johnson touchdown, the amount of yards that they gave is like, I would take that against any Big Ten opponent any week. Yeah. Like you give up 150, 160 yards. You should win by multiple scores. You should.
Yeah. No, I agree, man. And I agree that I think Rhule's going to do whatever he thinks he needs to do to take this program to the other side. I just think, and maybe this would have been true regardless. Maybe this would have been true if we went 8-4. It just puts a lot of pressure on him to like make the year three leap. Like it really
this
needs
is what
to
we're
be.
Supposed to
it
see
can't,
it, now.
It can't be, 6-6 or 7-5 or 7-5 in year three. I don't think he'll get fired if he goes 6-6 or 7-5 in year three, but
we'll be talking about it. We better believe we'll be talking about it. I'm not gonna be happy. I mean, I'm Mr. Kool-Aid and bleed red, but if it's 6-6 or 7-5 next year, like, man,
yes,
in this, like you just said, in this day and age of college football, in all the money that's being thrown around, we can't afford Nebraska athletic department cannot afford to let Nebraska keep going 6-6 and 7-5 with the amount of resources, support. All of that you hear, I'm so sick of hearing about the resources and the support and everything. Like, yeah, we have that. Make it happen. Make it freaking happen. It's happening everywhere, all around the country. Everyone is having what their definition of success is. There are so many schools that are having that are experiencing what their definition of success is.
Yep.
We are not.
Yep.
So yeah. It's not cutting time, man. Like next year, 6-6, 7-5 is not going to cut it. And we might not be talking about firing him, but it'd be like, okay, year three didn't go as we hoped. So year four, like this is the hot seat. You're on the hot seat.
So it puts more pressure on him, I think, for next year to really take the leap.
Yeah, for sure.
We've seen him do it other places at Temple and Baylor. All right, guys, I want to switch gears to there's got to be controversy. There's got to be drama, right? There can't not be drama around this game. So Iowa linebacker Jay Higgins gave an interview after the game where he talked about the main thing was he said that the Nebraska captains did not shake hands at the beginning of the game. And then that video surfaced where the Nebraska captains indeed did not shake hands at the beginning of the game. Higgins also made a point that Coach Rhule like walked through Iowa's warmup at the beginning of the game. And that was sort of a side note. There's a couple of videos going around, which is if this is all it was a big nothing burger. And Rhule's clearly like walking around the field. He's not trying to do anything. Exactly. One of the ones I'm looking at right now, it looks like he's like making friendly chit chat with a couple guys on the Iowa sideline. The other one, he was just like, anyway, so that's a nothing burger. And I don't think that hasn't generated the most conversation. I want to focus on so Higgins said something like, so we kind of knew what kind of game it was going to be at that point. And then a couple Iowa guys are even talking about how even at halftime, they were talking about what the post-game celebration was going to be. And they knew their kicker was going to kick a game-winning field goal. That's kind of hurts because it's basically like they just knew they had to wait around for us to trip over our appendages. And we sure as hell did it. So that's pretty frustrating, but it wasn't because of anything they did. So I did think it was funny that he was like, oh, we knew what kind of game it was going to be. What, were you getting your ass pushed around the whole game? Like, if you were really using that for motivation.
We knew we were going to get dominated the whole the entire time and then squeak one out at the last.
Right, exactly. Yeah. Nebraska owns the L. Like,
we knew it.
We can't avoid that. But we physically dominated that game in so many ways. So anyway, that's beside the point. What do you guys think about the non-handshake at the beginning of the game?
I don't have a problem with it, and it would be nothing. We wouldn't even be talking about it if we won the game. Like, this is just a dumb thing that we even need to address. But if you're going to do that, like, I don't have a problem with it. But you got to win, man.
You have to look so stupid if you do that and you lose.
Of course, they're going to rub that in our face. So
you
just, I don't have a problem with it. It's just you have to back that up after the fact. You got to close it. And we did for the most part. But you just have to win the freaking game.
Yeah. I'm with you, man. And that's just, I mean, that's Iowa.
Rivalry game.
Exactly. To me, like them not shaking hands at midfield, like give me a break. If you want to make that into a big deal, like would I like my players to do it if I'm the coach? No. Like just shake their hands and go back to your sideline. But if you want to have a chip on your shoulder and do that, like you said, you better win. But this is a rivalry game. Like I just watched Michigan and Ohio State, and they're fighting at midfield.
Police are pepper spraying players.
Pepper spraying players.
I remember David Boston and Charles Woodson, like literally throwing punches on the field during the game. Like that is small potatoes. And if Iowa has to search for something to motivate them for the game, that motivated them so much to get their asses kicked and pushed around for the entire game and to squeak out a win. That was their motivation. Give me a damn break. I'm so sick of these. I'm so sick of Iowa. I am so sick of these guys. To try to manufacture like motivation to play Nebraska. Like give me a break.
Well, I will also say like Mattio, that's a totally fair point. I have a hard time looking past my anger and frustration with the Huskers on this stuff. Like, you know, I think the best way is to let your play do the talking. I'd prefer to just shake hands.
Don't give them a thing.
Don't give them a thing. And then you let your play do the talking and you win by two touchdowns. But there's been some really, I can see both sides. There's a lot of debate. Most of it actually pretty respectful on social media, oddly, today. Mm-hmm. Like with some people like very sternly, very firmly, this is not the way. You got to have sportsmanship. You let your play do the talking. That's what you do. And then the other side is it's a rivalry game and they've been disrespectful to Nebraska in many ways and, you know, blah, 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 blah. And I could kind of like wherever you come down, like I kind of get it. The biggest thing to me is two things. One, it just feels like when you don't win, Jeff, you're right. One, back it up if you're going to do that. But then two, like it just feels like a distraction. And I thought Rob Zadichka, former Husker Rob Zadichka, Husker legend, had this great point he made on Twitter. Here's the problem with it. There's 1,000 things you need to be thinking about to be a champion, to win games. This is not one of those things.
Yeah.
I get it. It seems small, but champions do those 1,000 small things. If you're out there thinking about, hold on, I lost it for just a second. If you're out there thinking about, hey, we're not shaking hands at the coin toss, then I know you're not thinking about those 1,000 other things. That was a Bush League move I'd expect to see from a high school team right before they lose their first round playoff game, not from professionals making six figures in NIL money at the highest division in college football. To me, that was the most compelling point about just shaking hands.
Yeah.
And I thought, and like that, to me, that's the biggest thing is when you're doing stuff like that, then you're not focused on winning championships. And like Pot Roast, defensive line coach, Terrence Knighton, and Jamari Butler, like some of those guys have been tweeting about it today. And I love both those guys. This is no disrespect to those guys, but my knee jerk reaction is this is what you're thinking about after the game.
Yeah, just stay down, man.
Yeah. You know, like, and the defense did their job. So whatever. And then the other one was here's again, this is like, I think we're kind of saying this too. Like, it's kind of like at the end of the day, I get however people want to feel about this. It's just kind of an eye roll for me. Like, back to Eric Stumanji on Twitter, among the myriad reasons Nebraska football needs to get its act together and start winning games, none ranks higher than avoiding having days like today where we all lose our collective minds about irrelevant topics like handshakes.
Yeah.
That's kind of where I come to. I I'd like to see them shake hands and just not make it a thing. Like you said, Jeff, not give them anything and just be good sports and move on with it.
I take that gamble, you know.
They made a point that we didn't shake hands before USC or Ohio State. And I saw someone made the connection on Twitter. They thought those, like, Nebraska tries to do a pregame prayer at midfield every game. Yeah. And it was Iowa, USC, and Ohio State that like wouldn't let them do it at midfield or something like that. So it was potentially, I don't know if that was confirmed. It was just a suggestion on Twitter, potentially a reaction to that. And my understanding, they're just saying a prayer at midfield. They're not like planting the flag
Right.
or being disrespectful or anything like that. Maybe just pray in the end zone or something.
That, I was you just going to say, maybe consider just moving that thing down in the end zone or something like that. But because I remember hearing that there was issues, but usually it was like their players being like, hey, get off our midfield.
Right. Yeah, right.
Exactly. Iowa had uniformed police officers keeping our team from going to midfield.
Yeah. Like, which is ridiculous.
That's ridiculous. Yeah. It's ridiculous. We didn't shake hands. It's all ridiculous. It's a rivalry game. Guys,
that's true.
Like,
that's true.
I mean, it's all ridiculous. Like, we're talking like this is small potato again. This, like, there was the guy, the Auburn fan that got like thrown in jail for poisoning the oak trees at Toomer's Corner, whatever. Vice
that's
versa.
Right.
Like,
that's
there, we're right. talking jail time in yeah. these rivalries. Like, we're talking about right. shaking hands. Like, come on. Like, now, yeah. and now I think we all come from the school of like, hey, before the game, you shake a man's hand, you go out and kick his ass, you shake his hand yeah. after the game.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the school that we come from. Right.
Yeah.
But I'm just kind of like, whatever, man. Like, if we win, if we're not talking about it, like the Iowa exactly. guy brought this up. And so yeah, then Nebraska is
exactly
forced to address it. Like, come mm-hmm. on. Yeah. Come on. Come on. Come on, man.
Oh, man. It all would just feel better if we had won the stupid game.
It would. Touché. It would have felt great.
Yeah. We got to do corn cobs, boys.
I just want to throw in real quick, if you don't mind.
Yeah,
I want to throw in real quick. I think most Nebraska fans should make a trip to Kinnick. I will say,
no.
It makes me
no.
feel, yeah, if you don't want to, that's fine. Jeff, I wouldn't expect you to anyway.
You lost me. They don't have urinal troughs. I'm not going.
It's. I got to say, it's not the most easily accessible, enjoyable, or like – everything surrounding the game, like, it's fine. The stadium's fine. They don't have urinal troughs, whatever. But when you've got to park a mile away and then you walk, like, we parked a mile away. We had to walk down basically what amounts to a residential area that leads the road that leads up to the stadium. Would be kind of cool if you're an Iowa fan, because there's all these houses that are having these giant tailgate parties and just look like they're having a great time. But for somebody that doesn't have an in to go to a tailgate party, or for a visiting fan, there's not a hell of a lot to do around the stadium. Like, there's not a lot of bars, there's not a lot of restaurants. I don't know. It's not for me. The Iowa fans seem to enjoy it. They're a different breed. Not for me. I like to tailgate, but I like the option of, hey, maybe I'll just walk, 500 yards to this way, and there's a bar right there.
How was the wave thing? That's
it's
cool.
That's a cool tradition. I mean, yeah, there's
definitely
there, there it's it. I like that it gives off the message that, like, hey, we're here watching a football game. This is a football game. There's little kids up there that are really fighting
really
for something.
Cool.
I do think it's a cool tradition. So that, props to them for that. But otherwise, in-game experience, stadium, everything surrounding it, we're so much better than them, guys. Like, we're so much better. Facilities, urinal troughs, concession, choice at the concession stand. Like, I mean, the hot dog wasn't that great. I had the second time, I had a bratwurst. It was okay. Went a hot dog because they ran out at the first stand I went to. Of hot dogs and bratwurst. Wouldn't happen at Memorial Stadium. You think they're going to run out of Fairbury hot dogs at Memorial Stadium? Probably not.
Yeah,
right. They're not.
It's really a second rate operation.
Terrible.
And sorry, one more thing. Sorry, I had this thought and then it escaped me and then it just popped back into my head. But I do, the reason Zadisho's point resonates with me so strongly is simply because what has marked this program for the last 10 plus years is not doing the little detailed things correctly. And it's like Kirby Smart talked recently, even though he's a whiner and I hope they don't get in the playoffs, but he talked recently about guys tucking in their shirts, guys being on time for film session, guys being on time for class. It's not like being it's not just making plays when the lights go on.
Yeah.
It has to be the way you live.
It's 24/7.
It has to be in everything you do. If you want to be excellent, then you have to be excellent at everything you do. And it becomes habitual and it becomes part of what you do and who you are. And so that's why Zadig's point resonates with me. So anyway, I feel like is kind of maybe not the final hurdle, but the biggest hurdle for that Matt Rhule yet has to conquer, right? Is because I think when you get on top of those little things and you eliminate those mistakes, then you find yourself with bigger leads in the fourth quarter, or you find yourself making the plays when you need to in the fourth quarter, or not making the mistake, whatever it is. That's kind of probably the biggest hurdle left to conquer. As we said, I think he's got a good foundation and culture in place. We got a ton of young talent with more coming. It's a matter of figuring out how to win some of these games now.
Yeah.
Yep.
Sure. All right. Corn cobs, boys.
Oh, geez.
Jeffrey.
I was trying to think. I mean, you have to go with somebody on the defense, right? Like, I feel like you have to. I'll go with Ty Robinson this time around. I don't think I've even given one to a defensive player yet.
Because
so.
You're all Hollywood, Jeff. Touchdowns and bombs.
There weren't a lot of big flashy plays in this game, right? Fellas, not a lot of them. Nope. So, no, they played well as a whole. So, I'm going to go with the polar bear on this one.
I love that, Jeff.
You said Ty Robinson. Mm-hmm.
Oh, whoops. Sorry. My bad. Yeah. Ty Robinson. My bad.
Okay.
I didn't know.
I'm going to go with a guy who wasn't even our leading rusher, but I thought Dante Dowdell had a couple of runs that looked a little different to me, like a little bit more. He had a little more steam on him. And he made one run that, I don't know, it was maybe an 8 or 9 yard run, but he kind of, it was like, it looked like it was set up to be an outside zone. And he made a great cut left.
Yes.
A,
yeah.
Hard cut. And I'm like, man, he's running like he's like got something to prove today. Emmett played great, but we've all been all over Emmett for the last two seasons. So I want to give a little bit of props to Dowdell. I thought, 13 carries, 50 yards, but short yardage, man. Good luck bringing that guy down. He's going to get at least a couple of yards. So
yep,
Dowdell gets my corn cob.
Boom. I think the entire defense deserves one, right?
Yeah.
So I think we can just give one to the entire defense for that amazing effort. So then I'm going to go with Jamal Banks. Just 4 catches for 41 yards. But to your point, Mattio, it felt like he had a couple of big ones, like in key moments that weren't perfectly thrown balls that he held on to. And yeah, Emmett probably deserves one. Dylan actually played, pretty dang well. Like some different guys, they probably deserve it. But I'm going to go with Jamal Banks.
Boom. Love it. Nice.
All right. So conference championship Saturday, by the time this episode is out, it will be this coming weekend. And then I believe by Sunday, we'll know our bowl game, right? So yeah.
Thank God we have a bowl game. How much worse would we feel if we didn't have a bowl game? Like that's what we've been staring down for the last several years. Is that when we're 5-6 going into the Iowa game? Totally. Imagine losing like that again, and then again no bowl game.
Yeah,
like thank God, man.
Yeah, for sure.
I agreed. Exactly. I was gonna take us back down to negative town, but I'm not gonna.
Don't
do it,
TJ. Come on.
Our record is better this year. We're going to the bowl game.
This is the airing of grievances and getting it all, throwing all the crap out there, and then we're turning the page, man. Come on.
That's right. I think if we win the bowl game, we go 7-6. Again, we'll have plenty of time in the offseason to talk about all kinds of things, but I think most Husker fans will feel pretty good about that.
And we better win that damn bowl game. Otherwise, we're finishing with a losing record.
Exactly. View from the Blandstands is pending this week. I think we're going to have at least one more between now and the bowl game. I'm not totally sure if we're going to do one this week. We need to align with Evan on that. If not, then our next episode will be a week from Monday, whenever you're listening to this. There might be
a lot to unpack about that one too, with any offseason kind of changes. We got early signing day coming up, so any coaching staff mix-ups might happen before that. I'd imagine.
Definitely. We just need to talk to Evan. I'm not totally sure, what his schedule is.
Yeah.
But anyway, more information will be forthcoming, common fans. All right. Thanks for hanging with us. We're 6-6. We're going bowling. Go for a run. Eat some leftovers. Do whatever you got to do to try to exercise. I'm saying this to myself as much as anybody. Yeah. Exercise some demons and some anger and some frustration. Get it all out, and get ready for the bowl game. Because God dang it, we're going to enjoy the bowl game.
Yeah,
enjoy the
heck
out of that.
Right, we are.
And to those common fans that are saying they don't know if they can do this anymore, yeah, you can. Come on, sack up, man. This is it for me. I'm living and dying with these guys. These are my guys. I'm not going anywhere.
Well, the funny thing is that there's a Nebraska fan who lives here and who was saying a similar sentiment to me before the Wisconsin game. Then he's texting me right after the game. You know, so he was like,
I'm done with this.
Yeah, I need to take a break.
And
it's
then
too
he'll
much
be,
of an impact.
And then
already.
He'll be
and then
back
he's texting
around.
Me about the win. Yeah. Yeah.
Then he'll be back around come
and
bowl
then
game.
And then he texted me after the Iowa game last night too. So you know, it'll get, and the other thing is like we will be back. I don't know when it will be. We will be back.
It's
and you
happen.
you want to have stayed on the bus the whole time.
Yeah.
No matter how bad it got, you want to have stayed on the bus.
You're a Cubs fan, TJ. You know this better than anybody. How good does it feel when you hang around, and you're the lovable loser? And then you have a breakthrough. And now they're back to sucking terribly.
Worst nickname ever, by the way.
What?
Who wants to be a
what
lovable
What the
loser?
Hell was that, Ooh. Matt? That whole thing about the Cubs.
What do you mean that they're just perennial losers?
Yeah. Matty O is a Cardinals fan, so he's working some stuff out here. I'm not going to take the bait.
Good. You're a better man than I.
Who's got a more recent World Series? That's all I'll say.
Hey, there you go. See?
There you go.
Good for you. Cute.
Good for you. So that's sweet. That's sweet.
This guy, it's kind of like Iowa and their cute little stadium. It's a cute, quaint little stadium.
I love watching you guys just kill each other. Eat each other. There you go. Fight.
They don't have any championships.
I'm not breaking it up.
No.
Iowa doesn't have any championships.
Oh, God.
All right. We've talked for long enough, Common fans.
And they cheat, by the way. Iowa cheats. Did you guys realize the communications error at the beginning of the game? I totally forgot about that. They're cheaters. That was a total Patriot-esque way of – you remember with Dylan and his helmet?
Was his headset not working?
Yeah, it wasn't working.
I didn't know that.
They were cheating.
Bill I saw him like pointing at his helmet going like this. Like, I don't know.
They're cheaters too.
Major bomb dropped at the end of the episode.
Yeah. Thanks, Jeff.
For the eight of you who are still listening.
They're cheaters.
We're gonna common fan investigation.
You heard it here first.
Okay, common fans, hang in there. We'll know our bowl destination soon, and then we're all gonna get back on the train and start rallying toward the bowl game. We will be back at you soon. In the meantime, as always, GBR for life.
Going up these days, it feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Breaking news coming in from Bet365, and it's no surprise. Same game parlay from Bet365 just keeps getting better.
Well, it's even easier to make a bet. Choose from the most popular markets like hits, run line, totals, and home runs. So many to choose from.
Download the app, start building your bet, and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply.